Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
To declare your independence on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Please, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Independence of me, Ernest Hancock. Oh, Trump Report, one of my favorite parts of the week, Trump Report, along with Dr. Frank Tamburi, not because it's Trump Report, more because it's Frank, but this is, there's so much stuff going on, and it's like once a week, we get kind of the programming of what's going on. Rest of the time, you know, some information that you need about more depth of, and, you know, what's coming around the court. Check your six. I mean, you know, it's like all this stuff, distraction, shiny objects. Look at, you know, aliens are coming. Look behind you. See what's coming up on you. What's been put in place. What program got triggered. What emergency action gave them the authority they put in the legislation 3-4 years before to be able to whop you upside the head with. What? Well, one thing that's coming up October 4th is going to be a test of the emergency presidential. I get to send you a text, you know, alarm, everybody's phone goes off like in dystopian sci-fi movie something. Oh my God, goodness, I didn't even know my phone did that. That was one thing when I started broadcasting in the early 2000s. Remember when they started making it a requirement, every FCC new radio station and everything else had to have the ability to do an emergency broadcast. This is in the public interest of when we want to tell you what to do, you know, unless you live in Maui, that won't count. But, you know, when we want to get you, we're going to get you. We want to tell you what's up because you need us to tell you what's up. That's coming October 4th. And I'm just thinking I'm going to be busy that day. Along with every other day. I'm not afraid I'm going to miss out anything. I'll hear about it later, you know, if I even care. So this is one thing that's coming. We're being conditioned, prepped. Pavlonian, you know, bell salivating dog thing. Here it comes in every freaking form from every direction. War. Debt. Economy. Plan, scam, some demic of something. Be feared and afraid. Border invasion. Trump! Oh, my God! Trump! Biden! Oh, my God! You know, pick your poison. I tell you, oh, my God, Kamala Harris. I tell you, oh, my God, that. And we had a story. Oh, she's ready to take over. Oh, well, hell, I feel better now. So this is... You know, God. So let's just get us started. So this is, I want to be this a warning to, you know, the networks on the affiliates and so on. So we got to keep family friendly. You know, everybody, you know, keep, you know, Frank's pretty good about keeping a civil tone. You know, but, you know, no trash can words. I'll get in trouble. So this is, we're starting off into something different. Donna and I, we're just a couple more weeks. We're finishing up on the block press. The trauma works great, you know, on the block press and doing some other work and maintenance on and so on. And we'll be leaving towards the latter half of September in a few weeks at the outside, go to Pennsylvania, visit with Donna's mom for a little bit. Then we're going to a friend's daughter's wedding in Missouri. And we're going to visit, you know, probably mid-fest with Mike Swatek and friends and, you know, do some more documentary footage for his dome that he's building. And then we're back to Arizona IA, hopefully by Halloween. So till grandkids freaking dressed up as. And then we're on. I mean, it's, you know, it's land, build, dealing, not dealing, ignoring the man, getting ready for the man to man me, you know. So it's, we're going to take you guys through this. This is where our focus is going to be, because I can see what's happening. You own nothing, not of anything that they want, let's put it that way, not your retirement, not your land, not your property, not, you know, it's all regulated and, you know, you have them for COVID or something. So this is what's coming. Now, war and 24 censorship, here we go. War and 24. So you got whatever the next war is, be against a, you know, a virus, a biological weapon, a bacteria, you know, Fort Detrick decided Wuhan, something, whatever. And, you know, Fauci's back in the news. Ooh, we got it. And when confronted by CNN, no less, about the report on National Institute of Health website of a study of masks don't work. Yeah, well, maybe for, you know, general population of over, you know, the whole entire population of statistics of population. But as individuals, some people, individual, you know, help them, maybe. They feel like it. They felt better. I mean, I'm like, who is this guy? You know, it's a figment of our individual imaginations is what it is. We're being psyoped. Psyop. It's not that bad if you get out of their system monetarily. Food, supply chain production of, you know, Fred over there makes a gizmo, and I can order it, and it gets shipped around where I get it. How about that? That was the promise of the Internet. When we first started doing all economic activism, Father's Cup, whatever, sent me down this road, there was a thing in Germany called the Business Donnerbachen, and it was the beginning of the Internet as a mechanism for people that industry that needed a widget and put it out there for people, widget makers. You know, hey, we need this widget. Whoa, I'll bid on that. Me. Boom. And you find it in your BMW 3 months later. So this is was already there. I could see the promise of the Internet. We were interfacing with Senator DeConcini back in, you know, 89, 90. I had a meeting with Hughes Missile Systems before the Iraq first war started in 90, whatever. And they were all worried they're going to have to lay off people. They're out of business. They're not making, you know, missiles and bombs or something. I mean, I said, hey, do this. You got manufacturing capability. You put out what you can do. People want. They go in this. They do it in Germany all the time. Business Donnerbachen. They met with me in Tucson. They had me come down, and I, you know, met with them at DeConcini's office down there, talking about this because this is a commerce. What got me going. And then a couple of years later, right before the war started, or the war was ending, I think it was right before it started, they're going, look, hey, man, what you said, we need to talk about this more. I said, I'm not driving down to Tucson. They came up to Phoenix, Senator DeConcini's office up there near where my parents lived, and I just I had a condo downtown. So I went in, met with them, you know, all right, give me your spiel. As I'm sitting there waiting on them, the state director for Dennis DeConcini, U.S. Senator to Arizona Merca, came up to me and he said, hey, man, we need guys just like you. You know, go-getter, pretty family, you know, you're married, children, you know, you be part of our stable. Yeah, well, what do you want? What else? How can we get you into stable? I'm like, man, I know how bad, and you of all people know how bad this is. I'm not having nothing to do with nothing. There was a thing called ASCAM. It was a sting on corrupt politicians that the county attorney was having to meet with a, you know, gangster guy that was legalizing gambling, whatever. Got them all on videotape. All that was going on at that time. That was a Wednesday. Not that Saturday, but the following Saturday, a week and a half later, it exploded all over the newspaper, and it was really warning legislators not to meet with these guys. While they're sitting there meeting with them, you know, at Denny's, sitting there talking to somebody's legislators, whatever, on that Saturday. And it's headlines on the front page of the Arizona Republic. Oh, Sting, don't do it! As he's walking in. So this is right in the middle of that, because I didn't take their carrot, because I didn't agree to go along with their program, be part of their thing, they thought I was part of the sting. So the county attorney, they call me in, want to know how I know so much. And it went like this. Walk in, hey, how you doing, what's up? You know, high-rise government building downtown, you know, well-lit big windows, kind of like, you know, suits or whatever. We're sitting there, about three or four prosecutors there, and we sit down, and they go, you know, well, we wanted to know how you, yada, yada, and you figured it, you know, whatever. And I go, let me tell you how much I know. I know enough to know you're not going to do anything about it. That's how much I know. Well, it's nice talking to you. Peace out. We'll keep ourselves busy with something. And the meeting was over less than, God, 5 minutes. Certainly less than 10 minutes. It's done. Yep. I get it. It's all a game. It's all a game. For which factions got control power? Same kind of crap. Now, they were Republicans. You know, the county attorney, or Democrat, I don't even remember. Who cares? You know, it's the same crap that's going on now. None of this surprises me. So what I want to share with you, check your six. We're being built up for something. Something big, something major, something they want to maintain continuance of government control of we rule you, and you've got to have your mind right to do it, rather than going, it's not broken, it's fixed. Now, that's a new bumper sticker right there. It's not broken. Government, it's not broken, it's fixed. Yeah! I like that one. What do you think, Frank? Is that a good bumper sticker? Let's do that one. Okay, wait. I got to push a button. Yeah, see, I did, you know. Go ahead, Frank. Start over. Because I didn't have your mic up.
All right. Sorry about that, audience. I'm not sure it was a button thing. So, anyway, good morning to everybody. If my voice is a little off, I'm a little bit under the weather, which means more Ernie time for all of you. You guys get to hear Ernie more, and I'll be more in the background. Good for Ernie. Now, I was just pointing out about check your six. Absolutely. I was pointing out that it seems like I think we can kind of all feel that. You know, here in Arizona, it's been like 100 degrees like every day. It's, you know, I heard when it's over 100 degrees, you just kind of get used to it. Anything over 100 is the same thing to me. And I was taking my daughter to school.
107.
Just a couple days
that's
ago.
When it really gets hot.
107. And we came out just the other morning to go to school the first time. And well, I guess really first time we walk out. And it was cool, at least for Arizona. It was cool. You didn't get that intense air that you're walking into an oven.
Yeah.
And it's almost as if like when a fever breaks, you know, you're sick and the fever breaks. This is kind of like in reverse. But what I'm saying is you just get that sense that something shifted. And that's what we're talking about, this check your six. This thing has been building up for a long time, but I think, we can kind of feel that something's shifted. And that's one of the themes I want to go over today. You know, it's not one thing. It's multiple things where I feel that there's lines being drawn in the sand, and not necessarily from, you know, the crazy libertarian conservatives versus the diehard alt-left liberals and all that. I feel it's happening in middle America. You know, it's waking up regular people that are being, what we kind of said on the show, you know, it's for years. It has to get to the point where the average person finally gets woken up. You know, they stop looking at just baseball and the opiate to the masses, you know, that government uses. And they just kind of think politics is just some hobby to kooky people like us who just kind of get involved in this sort of thing. But at some point, you know, the camels that keep their head in the sand are going to be forced to have to wake up and make, you know, and choose on certain things. Kind of like Anakin when he was told by Palpatine, Anakin, you must choose. You know, you have to, it comes down to that moment. You got to choose a certain direction. I just want to give you just one example. We have a number of things to review for the show. A lot of stuff happened this past week. Especially, I cannot wait to hear Ernie's take on the Larry Sinclair Tucker Carlson interview. I have to say, I didn't expect to bring that up on this show. We'll chat about that later. Trust me, it's interesting. But no, just to give you an example, Neil deGrasse Tyson, the astronomer, esteemed physicist, scientist, who I've never been a fan of. He's extremely haughty. He's the guy that Nova and PBS try to make the new Carl Sagan for some time. Doesn't fly for me. He's extremely arrogant. That is my opinion. I mean, he defines it. And I used to hang out in a way, but the circles when I was an academic way back with, I met Carl Sagan back in the day, but like those, that group, Michael Shermer, the Skeptic Society, all that. I mean, I go to their conferences. Neil deGrasse Tyson was sort of like part of that group, but he was always sort of like an arrogant guy. He sort of got his name because he was the one that really pushed to deplanetize the planet Pluto. So the reason the planet is now like a dwarf planet or whatever they want to call it was him. And then, of course, just a few years later, the New Horizons spacecraft goes by Pluto and goes, Neil, you may have been a little early on that call because Pluto really does have an atmosphere and it's got other things that maybe it's still a planet. So he's still wearing an egg on his face on that one. Oh, but regardless, I know I'm getting a little geeky, but I'm pointing out that He is part of the science community that has taken the position of the woke left, especially over this issue of the transgender deal. And are there two sexes, two genders, all of this? And he has been a leader trying to say, yeah, look, we're the science people, and what we say, everyone else has to follow. It's like California. They make some new law, and they expect the rest of the country to eventually fall in line. Well, that's how these certain science communities are. And so this is what Neil deGrasse Tyson, which, maybe this audience doesn't care about him, but for a lot of the establishment, he's one of his figureheads, or a useful idiot, as I might call him, in essence. And he had a debate or a discussion with the esteemed Michael Shermer. Michael Shermer is president of the Skeptic Society. They're mainly atheists and agnostics, and I'm not bringing this up for religious reasons. I just mean the diehard science people, it's all about science, science, science. And they're usually always in agreement with everything. And if they have a disagreement, it's behind closed doors where they get out their pocket calculators and they'll talk like calculations, like in the Oppenheimer debate, saw that movie, and they're all figuring out if the world's going to blow up or not, They'll have their private conversations amongst themselves. But when they come out in public, it's a unified front. This is what science pretty much says. Aside from some areas that we don't know, how the Big Bang started, things like that. Well, anyway, I'm drawing this out a little bit, but I just saw something shocking for me. And that is Michael Shermer had Neil deGrasse Tyson on his show. And Michael Shermer is kind of like the last bastion of common sense that he's trying to hold. He doesn't understand how the science community taking on all these new woke things. And to his credit, he's a real nice man. He pushed back to Tyson, and Tyson double, triple, quadruple down. He's done on every show. Not only not two genders, he's talking about how silly all this stuff is. He's talking about there should be gradations of sex. So if the Olympics, for instance, there should be like 100 different categories. Not that he said exactly 100, but he's saying gradations. So therefore, we should have, maybe 100% male, 90% male, 60% testosterone versus 40% estrogen dominance, or whatever. I mean, this is what he's envisioning, this new world, and he's promoting this on Shermer's show. I'm going to drop this part that I'm making too long. If you guys are science geeks, you'll know what a big deal it is. But it's an example of how people who normally never get into the political sphere are being forced to take sides on something as ridiculous as this whole trans thing is. And what I mean by that, I don't mean that people who are trans are ridiculous. That's not my point. It's the issue that the whole world is falling apart. The economy's about to fall. They're trying to push us to World War III. That all of it, that we're going through this fourth turning and everything that's happening. And they want us to be arguing about who can be in a bathroom and whether men should wear bathing suits, women bathing suits on the swim teams. That is the ultimate psyop. Not that most of this audience doesn't see it as such, but that's where we're being distracted. But regardless, we're seeing a lot of these types of splits. You also have Elon Musk versus the ADL, if you caught that one. He decided he's like, game on, buddy, the American Defamation League, with Jonathan Greenblatt, who's CEO, and this one I'm going viral recently. The ADL has been untouchable. Again, just a force a political force and basically setting the agenda. If the ADL doesn't like something, then you will know, and your company will be sued, and your company and all of the leverage of not just wokeism, what it is now, but you know, of boycotts and lawsuits, and basically companies have learned, don't challenge the ADL. This has been going on for decades, but it's now turned into a whole other level with the woke boycotts, with the ESG scores, all of this. And it's just compounding to such a degree that it's taking out companies. It's taking out Disney. We'll bring up our little Disney update sometime later. But Budweiser, all the things we've covered on the show culturally, these companies are, you know, they're, it's like they're getting cornered and pushed into boxes where if they don't do this, then the ADL comes after you. Now, if you don't do this, then the ESG score gets dropped. If you don't do that, then BlackRock, it doesn't keep you as a client. And if you don't do this, then Elon Musk's Tesla winds up losing its special environmental score, even though he's making, you know, green cars. Like, and you have nowhere to go. Well, Elon Musk finally said enough, and now he's pushing back against the ADL, which is astounding, because they're sort of like the grand, they're out there like with the whole ESG score deal. So we will see where this goes, especially with Discovery. And Elon Musk has said, hell, you know what? To prove my point, I'll release all of the emails that the ADL has ever done and given to Twitter, you know, the old Twitter. And you can see, you know, what really happened behind the scenes. And I think he says even if Elon Musk is saying that up to 50% of advertising profits is driven by effects from the ADL. But he said even though he can't quite prove that 50%, he can easily prove 5%. And he said 5% of what Twitter's worth is currently, or at least at the time, is still something like $6 billion, which is going to take the ADL completely out if they're ever found guilty of it, which is, of course, a whole other tall order. But it's just another line in the sand of this division. So anyway, these are small things in comparison. I know what Ernie opened the show with. You know, when you're saying check your six, it's like you're feeling this attack from different sides. We also have, by the way, the other attack. By the way, there's a lot of good things. The worm has turned on a lot of this. I think the average American, the normies are waking up to just common sense. But the more that they do, the more the other side pushes back. We're seeing this as an example, reaction to Trump. You have to bring Trump up here with his mugshot. And, you know, his poll numbers, surprise, surprise, keep going up. They're like, how these lefties don't figure this out yet because of the rule. Ernie, just give me 1 minute. I'm going to get that rule out of the way. For you
1 minute.
Listeners. Right. The one rule, there goes the clock. The rule is that people who don't like Trump or the lefties or the neocons, and I often say you will never beat Trump. Beat doesn't mean that the election, that the voting booth. I just mean you're not going to beat him as this movement that he created. I've been saying this since 2015. Is that you'll never beat Trump unless you understand why people are actually voting for him.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA News Update. President Biden commemorated the 22nd anniversary of the 9/11 attacks in Alaska.
I join you on this solemn day to renew our sacred vow. Never forget.
At a memorial ceremony at Anchorage's Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson, he praised the unity and resilience of Americans following the tragedy. In a deal that will see five American citizens detained in Iran released, about $6 billion in frozen Iranian money will be able to be transferred from South Korea to Qatar. The Biden administration waiver will essentially allow European, Middle Eastern, and Asian banks to forgo U.S. sanctions and allow for the frozen money to be converted in South Korea and then transferred to Qatar. Approximately 15 million households will have access to Disney-owned channels like ESPN and ABC once more. It's been reported the media company has come to an agreement with Charter Communications. John Schaefer, USA News.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
That you'll never be Trump unless you understand why people are actually voting for him. And it's not what CNN says. It's not about, you know, he's tapping into some nascent internal white privilege, racism, blah, 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 deplorable. I mean, that's the only way they're trying to justify to themselves their hatred. But no, the reason they support him at the time was distrust in the system. However, they're getting to that distrust for different reasons. And most of it had nothing to do with Trump. It was before Trump. It just built and built. Whether it's Ralph Nader, how they treated Ralph Nader, I mean, back in the 2000 race. There were so many things that build up to the distrust. So therefore, the more you hammer this guy by changing the rules and changing this and having the media overtly lie that can now be proven with YouTube videos, you know, just showing unedited clips of things. I mean, all of this, the more you hammer him, the more you're reinforcing the very reason that people support him in the first place, while at the same time red-pilling more people. And it's astounding that they haven't figured it out.
I mean, okay.
I guess some have. But they, yeah, exactly. And they just don't care. So anyway, so now you got the mugshot, and then they're all surprised, like Gomer Pyle on CNN and elsewhere, that Trump's, according to their numbers, this is their numbers. This isn't, you know, the things that we check often. Trump is at 52% for the Republicans. DeSantis is 18%. Now, if you look at the predicted polls, which is, you know, the actual betting market, Vivek is a lot higher. He's actually ahead of DeSantis. But I'm just going to go with their numbers, you know, their hopeful numbers. They still look at DeSantis as, like, you know, the dark horse, you know, savior, that at least he's not Trump, and it'll be easier to discredit as the Trump 2.0. Once they get Trump 1.0 out of the way and all the fools jump behind DeSantis, and then they're going to hammer on him. But anyway, DeSantis is 18%, and then everyone else is like 7, 4, 2, 1%, and Pence probably owes points at this point. So now what they're recommending is that that all the Republicans drop out and support DeSantis. So therefore, at least it's closer to a 50-50, although Trump is still 2 points over that. So they basically want to do the same tactic the Democrats did to support Joe Biden against what's his name? My brain went here.
Sanders.
The socialist. Bernie Sanders. Because Bernie Sanders was like, you know, kept throwing off their numbers, and then they all dropped off. Remember after Super Tuesday? And they all supported Biden. So anyway, that's the only tactic that they have to try to stop Trump. But again, with Trump's numbers getting higher and higher, he's also with the black vote, especially black men, but the black community, black vote in America, Trump had the maximum, the highest of any Republican at 7%. This is back in 2020. Was it 2016 or 2020? Forgive me. But it was similar to both. So he had 7%. Now he has 20% of the black vote. 20%. And it's often been speculated, this is like years ago, is that if the Democrats ever lost up to 20% or more of the black vote, then they can't win. And I know, Ernie, don't bite your lip about, you know, win what, and, you know, voting matters, really? I get all that. And they're just saying,
I win when you already know what I'm going to say. I win.
No, I already know.
You know, it's like reporters would call me, and they would say, Ernie, we're writing a story, so-and-so did you come, whatever, and we just wrote this about your set. Yep, that sounds good. Done. Interview's over. You know, when you know that they know what you're going to say, I mean, at least they checked with me, you know. But the when they can write my stuff, you know, it's awesome. I'm going, you go, girl, man, done.
Well, anyway, I appreciate it. So that's kind of a – when you're seeing those kind of numbers and that kind of movement only a year and a half out or a year, whatever we are now, and, of course, it's an eternity in political time, and everything keeps moving. As I'm saying, it's breaking between the ADL under attack, between Twitter now owned by Elon Musk, right? Allowing something like the Tucker Carlson to talk about things that even Fox would never allow. And that we're going to talk about in a little, after you comment on a lot of this regarding the Larry Sinclair interview. Oh, my God. But there's so many things, the attack on media, the destruction of the media, and the media does not have the hold that it did ever before. It's lost the narrative going into this election, and Trump's already higher now than he's ever been in the last two elections, and things are breaking more. Two other quick examples. In California, the People's Republic of California, just this past week, in Huntington Beach, the city council, right, yesterday, they voted to ban all COVID mandates. So they're jumping ahead before COVID, this 2.0 COVID cracks down in California, Huntington Beach. They're like, nope, we're going to automatically say we are not closing down. We will not comply, as Donald Trump said on his excerpt, you know, Truth video that you sent out. Also, a couple of days ago, a California school board, it was Chino Valley School District. They basically were all woke school board members. They were voted out, this last election, and so now they have a turnover, and you've got like more, you know, regular parents running the school board, and they fired the superintendent live on the actual meeting, and you can watch the video. It's amazing. The superintendent is back up there trying to, you know, do this whole hurrah about injecting and keeping the woke agenda, and they basically said, you know what? I think you must have missed the memo. We're in charge now. You're done, you know, and that whole...
Wait a minute. Who got fired was a school administrator something what?
It's a woke superintendent from the Chino Valley School District.
Okay, Chino Valley
just
School
got
District.
Fired by the school board.
And okay,
this was
so
done,
the school board
this
did
was done live and video. Anyway, I'm just giving you two examples of things that seemed almost impossible just a year ago, 2 years ago. I mean, granted, 5, 10 years ago, this entire madness was impossible for any of us to conceive. Let's just be honest. But this new reality that we have, this woke agenda, this mind virus that is sucking the oxygen out of everything and everyone. And this is, of course, we predicted. You know, it's like the old saying. First they went after, was it the gypsies, and we didn't do anything. And then they went after this group, and we didn't do anything. It's the famous quote from the Jewish rabbi, I believe, or the priest, from World War II. And then eventually they came after me, and there's no one around to help, right? I'm paraphrasing the famous quote. But anyway, that's, of course, we knew would happen. First, it's white, toxic, white masculine, white men, toxic masculinity, evil. And if you're a Christian, then you're a domestic terrorist to boot. You add all that up. But eventually, you know, within a few years, they're going after Dave Chappelle, right? And Dave Chappelle is now all of a sudden a white nationalist, apparently, and he's all right, right? And then, of course, then they go after the Proud Boys with Enrique Toro, which he just got a sentence to, 20 years? That's a whole other story.
Yeah, isn't the head of the Proud Boys, this Toro guy, isn't he black or Hispanic?
Exactly. I'm just about to say, I had to make the punchline. The Proud Boys, the white supremacist group, supposedly, but just like with you and our friend, what's his name? Was it Chris who brought the AK or the AR to the rally, and you were interviewed on CNN, and he was
Chris.
Black. He was a black man who had the AR, and of course they CNN cut off his head, so you didn't know he was black, right? Because it didn't fit their
MSNBC
narrative.
MSNBC was the most egregious, but I mean they did not want people to know. They were given the narrative that there were white guys out there with AR-15s doing it. And I go, no, it was a black guy. That was a Ron Paul supporter wanting to make the point about if at some point you have resistance is going to be physical from the people. And he happened to be black. And they did not want that. So they would frame it and cut off, you know, because he's wearing black tie, white, long sleeve shirt, kind of like a Louis Farrakhan kind of thing. And he kind of favors him, you know. But he was standing there. I'm interviewing him. It's on CNN. They're making a big deal out of it. And then they didn't show that he was black. And then when it came out that he was black, you know, and they had to have, it was a long story. Just do Ernest Hancock CNN, you'll see the whole thing. But the whole thing is it was manufactured news from the beginning, and we got in, because the Republicans and Democrats, it was on health care, Obama came to Phoenix to do whatever, he spoke to the veterans of foreign war, you know, the VFW thing, and they were like, oh, you didn't get the memo, that's not, this was about health care, because the Republicans then got in the corner, and we're like, we don't care, you know, I didn't get the memo, we can protest whatever the hell we want. So as we did that, you got to see another example. I've had international examples of this, you know, since forever. They just manufacture whatever narrative they want, but they did it right there with video. Had me on Rich Sanchez on CNN, and they're going, well, Mr. Yeah, we got footage of you behind the scenes that you know this guy. And I'm going, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, I go, yeah, and your point, I go, where do you think you got that footage, moron? You know, I was like, this is so stupid. And finally he goes, well, it seems like this was all set up. And I go, yeah. Duh! You guys are so easy.
It was.
What do you think
that was
we were doing?
Classic interview.
Oh, CNN Ernest Hancock, you'll figure
that.
It out.
Hey, dude, I think you should repost on Freedom Spinning. For all you new listeners, you want to get a taste of Ernie battling mainstream media. That was classic. And of course, the rule was, as Ernie said, I'll do the interview, but one rule: it has to be live. Right. Not has to be live, and they didn't quite understand. You understood their game. Well, anyway, my only point, I'll throw it back to you, though, but was with the Proud Boys, you know, the white nationalist, the white racist group, and, of course, CNN and MSNBC didn't seem to realize that their leader, Enrique Toro, he's Afro-Cuban. He's half black, half Cuban. And of course, that went, damn, that shot down. I mean, I remember when Joe Biden brought that up in the 2020 debate, and it was the first time most Americans heard of the Proud Boys, and I already knew the guy was Afro-Cuban. I just had read about him somewhere, and I'm thinking, how is this a white nationalist group? The leader's black and Cuban. But it didn't stop the media from, of course, pushing that narrative, whatever it was. So anyway, but all of this pushback, they're going after that. They're going after, of course, they went after people at J6. at first people who went into the building, then they start going after people that didn't go in the building but were in the parking lot or outside. Then they're going after, of course, Trump himself, who didn't, he didn't tell anyone to go into the building, of course, but they're trying to accuse him. Then they're going after his attorneys, and now it's predicted they're going to be going after media types. And they went after James O'Keefe, so now they're investigating James O'Keefe. They're now investigating, of course, just came out the other day, or at least a few days ago, Owen Schroyer. I don't know who he is, but he's like a co-host on the Alex Jones show, and he now is getting pulled in to the J6. Now, this is not just about J6, by the way. I'm going to be clear. I'm just saying that the system feels like they're backed against the wall at such a degree that they're doing what we predicted. It's kind of like a cornered animal, and they're going to start lashing out, and they're going to start going after everything and doing more and more crazy, desperate measures, as the saying says. Desperate men do desperate things. And I think we're going to see it more and more. And the best thing that just regular America can do is, and this sounds like I'm being a little too flippant, but it's almost like if you're able to, just grab the popcorn and back up. And like Ernie says, I just don't care. But back up and just watch at this point. Because what you can't do is react. They want a reaction. They want Putin to react. They want the rest of the world to react. And somehow his pipeline blows up and Putin doesn't attack anyone. He just sits back and goes, okay. Yeah, really? Like all of a sudden drones are striking Moscow. You know, imagine if drone explosions were hitting downtown in D.C. or New York or something. I mean, I can imagine America would respond or do something. Imagine if the president just sat back and said, we'll just hang out. We're just going to go to the new BRIC meeting in Africa and talk about the new economy. And, you know, I mean, that's what Putin's doing. He's not acting on any of this stuff, whatever's happening, right? Because he knows, you know, and the same thing domestically. You know, if they can't get a rise out of Putin to fight back, then they want Americans to fight back. And then that justifies, you see, you know, and insurrectionists and this and that and that. So it's like Dr. King always talked about, or Gandhi, you know, it's just through peace and nonviolence. And that's what we always call for. And the more that they lose the narrative and the culture, that's why this show, we focus on the culture ultimately. As they're losing the culture war, and Disney's stock is like the canary in the coal mine about culture. That's why I always love to bring up Disney on this show. We'll talk later, but their stock, if any of you guys have been checking it from my news updates on Disney, if any of you put options on it, you're probably smiling right now. Not that I give any stock advice here or options advice, but I'll tell you what. That's an example of what our culture is doing. So as they're losing the culture, and Trump is higher in his polls now after how many indictments, a mugshot, two impeachments, everything. And his polls are higher now than it was in 2016, right? When all it was the Access Hollywood tape. So when you combine that, they don't know where else to go. And where do you go with this? And, you know, of course, some of us are unfortunately, like Tucker Carlson, speculating where they might go from here. But that would just reinforce the case of why people support him in the first place. But anyway, that's where we're at. All of these different strange things are seeing the pushback. Well, you've got pushback against the COVID mandates, the pushback at the woke schools at the superintendent level, taking over the boards. And this is before the next election. We've got Neil deGrasse Tyson getting pushed back by Michael Shermer. Again, if you're a geek, you know what a big deal that is. You're seeing this bifurcation of people saying enough on different levels. So yes. Oh, and do you have any comments, by the way, on the Liberty Safe? Did you hear about the Liberty Safe issue that happened yesterday?
Liberty Safe, they had some guy that was at January 6th, or I don't know if he was even there or he was supportive of or whatever, and they're like, yeah, no, you can't get in my safe. I'm not opening it for you. So they go to Liberty Safe, the manufacturer of it, and I guess they had some process by which they could give the federal government to open this safe. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
And I'm going, yeah. Well, then that doesn't sound like my safe. I mean, it sounds like your safe. And it started with safe deposit boxes. When they did I don't know what they called it, confiscation of Americans' gold in, what was it, 33 or something, you know, FDR comes in, they're going to take everybody's gold. You got to turn in your gold. Well, anybody that went to a safe deposit box had to have an agent there, either a federal agent or a bank employer or somebody. They go with, and they were confiscating the gold at $35 an ounce or something, or 25, whatever. It shot up, you know, like 30-something percent after they got it all. Now it's worth more. We revalued it. Sucks to be you. And this sounds like that. It's whatever you have is ours, or we get the check, or we get our cut. Well, it's at the banks. The safe deposit. I'm not going to the bank safe deposit. Screw that. I'll get me a Liberty safe. Liberty. Liberty. Patriot Liberty. Patriot Liberty America safe. Okay? So they get them. They call. Hey, we need to get it. Okay, here's the thing. Done. It's like your iPhone. You know, I just did. I had to, you know, I got to it because I got to it. But I cracked screen on my Samsung Galaxy, whatever the hell it is. So I get another phone, sits there. I've done this before, and I now, you know, get the backup thing, or it goes from the smart Samsung smart community, whatever the hell, app icon thing on it, and it just copies it over the other thing. And I think you still have to do some other stuff, so I'm in the process of doing that now. So as I do this, it's the I totally agree the privacy policy of, and you get a Samsung, all devices, your, you know, tablet, TV, phone, you know, wristband, watch, brain chip of whatever the hell, okay? This is the Samsung thing. Any and everything of any digit of anything of everything is ours that we share with everybody, and there's nothing you can do about it. You want to use this, get over it, click here. And I'm going, uh-huh, all right. When Dernie goes dark, he's going to go dark. And we've gotten, you know, Braxx phones. I've got all phones. I got, you know, I got backups sitting over here, you know, but it's not convenient for me until I get where I want to be, and then it's, I'm going to make it convenient. Well, this is, we don't own anything. I'm waiting for my happy shot that they're going to put a boot on my neck and force me down and give me. You know, oh, never mind. It reminds me of an episode.
Well, Ernie, there is a brand new COVID vaccine coming out next week. Yeah, I'm just letting you know. It might be your happy shot. You never know.
Well, they started coming out. There's been reports that it activates certain things to interface with your DNA and your cells and everything electromagnetically. You know, it's kind of 5G thing, or you get certain pulses, 80 gigahertz, that kind of crap. I mean, I put the stuff up, but I'm like, you know, how much do I want to pollute my brain with all this fear when all I got to do is go out in the desert and leave me alone? You know, I'm looking for a solution to this stuff. I can sit here and whine about, what do you want to do? Make them stop? You know, stop hurting, stop. I will punch you a second time. You know, I don't care. You know, I'm not interfacing with these people. I just, when they interact with me, I'm like, look, I'm not signing up for your thing. You want me to sign something, right? You know, some ticket, some agreement to, or something, right? Now, when they come with a subpoena, like, send me a subpoena, and then we'll get on it, because they're going to come with helicopters. You got to, you know, comply with their subpoena. But then you get due process, and you go through stuff. So I always insist, make them make you, make them say it. I mean, if you did that simple thing, this whole thing would stop. Everything. Just those two things. Make them make you. They're like, do you understand that we're going to, you just don't understand, we got to explain it to you. All right, what are you going to do? We're going to make you, because we're going to make you. You got Larry Fink coming up and saying, you know, we get these corporations here, we make them. You know, we make them. How? I don't know. You get to use anything, interface with anything, live, buy, sell, mark of the beast, whatever, we're going to make you. All right? Well, then you got to make me. Oh, we really are, and we're going to explain it to you. Oh, you're going to say it. Okay, we'll say it, so everybody can know about it. So that's where we're at. And when I get these things, I know freaking Frank's going to blow up if we don't talk about Obama's gay lover on Tucker Carlson that we've been hearing about coming since for freaking ever, you know. And I put this up, you know, I put it up because it's Tucker.
We're not a bunch of cultural conservatives here saying you're not doing it right, and blah, blah, blah. It's like each his own. Fine. However, the reason Tucker's taking this on, what it really was about, Ernie, what was really about was another Street Fighter level uppercut, like talking from the video game here, Rue version, to the media, to the mainstream media. It was really talking about how credible of a case this is, how, in other words, if this was a Republican, anything close to this, I mean, a Republican flirts with a stewardess on an airplane, and all of a sudden it's going to be like in all the newspapers and, you know, trying to undermine the person's campaign. But the point was, this information was out, extremely credible for different reasons. Granted, you could argue it comes down to he said, she said, but when you actually follow through the narrative and you check things out of what the case is, everything lines up with what this gentleman's talking about as much as that we can. But that's not even the issue. It's like, 'cause at the end of the day, you and I don't care what Obama privately does. It's the fact that the media deep sticks this almost to the same level, I mean, almost to the level of Jeffrey Epstein's island, right? And that is why Tucker finally being released, you know, from the prison of mainstream media, even at Fox News, was able to have his own studio and put on a guest that there's no way in hell even Fox would have put on in 2008. And now he's in a position with the largest audience ever, with the freedom of Twitter or X, that he could do this. Just the point was, is that you people would never even run this for your own political agendas and the control of the mainstream media. And yet now, between all of them, between the breaking of the mainstream media system of the narrative I started the show with, this story, whether you think it's important or not, whether Obama was the president or not, whether you would change your vote or not, the point was, it was newsworthy and no one's heard about it, and it's taken this new media in order to tell the story. That, Ernie, right there, that was the story. That's what Tucker was ultimately hammering home like a grand slam at the end. That was brilliant.
It's obvious we're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming, so we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.